gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to Yahoo, because why? Because we got a new Pope hoping for us. You're lucky even Pope's for you, Jim. You really are. A lot of people had confusion yesterday. Rocky Mountain Mike said, I'm not a Catholic, but if the Cardinals had come out and see their shadow, would we have had six more weeks of conclave?
Well,
I don't know.
He also says that they say they found the Higgs boson particle, but it saw its shadow. So we're in for six more weeks of an unaccounted electroweak field.
Interesting. Thank you very much. That was the dweebiest science show ever.
I think not.
Oh, this just in, breaking news. Mitch McConnell announces the Republicans' goal must be to ensure Francis is a one-term pope.
I will make sure he's a one-term pope.
He is the artist previously known as Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio from Argentina. Mm-hmm. He released this brief statement this morning.
Don't cry for me, wow. Argentina.
He's got a very high voice.
That's lovely. I would have thought he was an alto.
Especially... with one lung. I mean, that's...
That's something. Yeah, he had his lung removed when he was a child.
Did he? Well, there's a Pope fun fact.
Yeah.
And apparently some other organs, too. But...
oh, dear. I don't know.
Because his voice is high. You
oh,
see.
I see.
You see. Okay.
I see.
It sounds strangely like Madonna.
Yeah.
Weird. Madonna, Fosse. All right.
Well, the Madonna. Catholic, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He probably called home. He was excited. What up? Buenos Aires. Check me out. I'm the new Pope. He's from Buenos Aires.
Is that a song?
Yes.
Buenos Aires.
It's from Evita. It's from the same thing.
I never saw.
What's new, Buenos Aires? Me, Pope.
Really? There's a disco song? In...
no, it's just I sang it badly.
Okay. Evita doesn't strike me as the type of musical that would have a disco song.
I bet Carl Frisch can sing it. He knows. All right, here he is. Yes, here he is. Time for Carl.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. Hit it, Carl Frisch. Go ahead, Carl Frisch. Oh, the phone is still doing the thing. So that's going to be bad. Okay, then. And I bet you he had the first chorus already. Please stand by. Please stand
by. To the Pope phone.
Exactly. He is, they formally announced him as the head of the new Catholic Church yesterday. Oh, now there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Now Carl will have to call back. Hey, here's some fun facts about the new Pope. Bergoglio. Let's just call him go with Francis. No wonder they changed it. He's seen as an unwaveringly orthodox on matters of sexual morality.
Oh, boy.
Same as it ever was.
Yeah.
Same as it ever was. Staunchly opposing abortion, same-sex marriage, and contraception.
Oh, great.
Enjoy. Have fun, everybody. Partay. In 2010, he asserted that gay adoption is a form of discrimination against children.
Huh?
What?
Yikes. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. Much better to be an altar boy.
Right. Right. All right. I'm just going to try this. Carl, is that you? Okay. Carl, is that you?
I had to let it happen.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the Pope was reading my mind because I was going to sing some from Evita, and all of a sudden my music played and I wasn't on.
Oh.
What is new, Buenos Aires? All right. Yeah, it's not disco. I sang it badly. I don't know what it is, Carl, but what's the name of the song?
Which one?
I don't know. What's up, Buenos Aires? What's new? Something like that, right?
Yeah, I don't know the names of the songs. I just know the
You know, that song from the show.
You don't know show tunes? All right, Carl, whatever. You are fired from gayness. Okay.
I know a lot about the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Did you grow up Catholic?
I went to Catholic school.
Aww. The Pope only has one lung. Did you know that?
This will do a lot for their Argentinian travel business, I think. My understanding is that he woke up in a bathtub in ice and was missing a lung.
Yes.
All right, let's...
You know what else is interesting about
what?
Argentina? It's got gay marriage.
Oh, my goodness.
Ay, caramba.
And this cardinal, when he was a cardinal, fought against that law.
Yes.
Right.
He did
and
everything
you know what?
He
Argentina
could.
Argentina has had it for a couple of years now, and it's not... Right. Floated off into the ocean.
Exactly.
Yes, but we wouldn't want someone in charge of the church that would tolerate any sort of sexual immorality, would we?
Yeah. You know what else Argentina has? Penguins.
Yes.
Gay penguins.
Right.
No, but when he was a cardinal, he fought against that new law tooth and nail, and he lost.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
That shows you where
That's
he is
how you
on
get
gay
a
marriage. And he's very, very against gay adoption.
I mean, at least he's a younger pope. I mean, this guy gets his dinner at 5 in the afternoon instead of 4.
He could have many, many more years of prejudice.
No, he's okay. 73. He's not a young pope.
Well, you know, and somebody asked me on Twitter, they said, you know, I was thinking that the Pope was going to be from Africa. Everybody was saying the front runner was from Africa. I said,
right.
Everybody knows that the first black Pope comes after George W. Pope.
You see what you did there. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. Oh, must we? Well, must we start with Ducey? Because then it only gets Ducier from there. Steve Ducey on the Fox and Friends.
We've been speculating what was the motivation for this charm offensive. Well, now, thanks to Ron Fournier of National Journal, we know that it is simply a tactic. The President of the United States is not serious about actually reaching across the aisle, but he saw his poll numbers were imploding thanks to the sequester.
Oh, God.
Wow. That now the President is guilty of being charming. Will he stop at nothing?
Everything's a ploy, my friends. Everything's a ploy. Do not trust the black man in the White House.
Yeah. So, I mean, he literally, he can't do anything that Fox News won't find something wrong with.
So. Well, certainly not.
Yeah, now he wasn't reaching out enough. Now he's reaching out too much.
Oh,
right?
So the president cured cancer. Now there's going to be a lot bigger population on the earth. Thanks
right.
a lot.
Way to go.
I often said that if the president took his daughters ice skating on the National Mall over Christmas, Steve Ducey, Gretchen Carlson, and brown-haired guy who's not Steve Ducey would accuse the president of trying to walk on water like Jesus.
Yep.
There you go. All right, Sean Hannity on the president.
You know, the president, it was 1 week ago, Mark, the apocalyptic doom and gloom over sequestration, Republicans hate, no immunization for kids, on and on and on. Now a charm offensive? Why would anybody believe that?
Huh? Well, they just have the scripts written in advance,
Speaking
right?
of non-sequiturs.
Why won't he lead? Why is he leading too much?
Well, I mean, it's been long rumored that the line producers at Fox News, it's really more like Mad Libs. you know, insert cataclysmic, you know, recreation of what the president actually did. You know, call him something that ends in IST. Communist,
right.
socialist, cartoonist, pianist.
it's like Scrabble. They just shake it up and decide which ist they're going to use for the day. All right. Mark Levin.
You know, they actually have something in common.
Yeah.
That is the Pope is a Pope who cares about the poor, and Obama's a president who creates more poor. So they have something in common in that regard.
Yeah, you can ask the bishops and the nuns what they think about Paul Ryan.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Wow. I think Jim, I if I'm not mistaken, I think that was a joke.
Oh, really?
I think that's what passes as a joke.
Stephanie Miller. It was sarcastic and ultra left wing.
Right.
Wouldn't you think that he'd have some change in the intonation of his voice between what's serious and what's humorous?
No, it's pretty much the same. But here, let's hear it again, because this
right.
is...
The problem is he didn't say chachi after it.
Right, or babe. Yeah.
Well, you know, they actually have something in common.
Yeah.
That is, the Pope is a Pope who cares about the poor, and Obama's a president who creates more poor. So they have something in common in that regard.
Badly written joke, badly delivered. Wow. That's something.
He kind of did the Leno thing at the end. That's why I'm telling them.
Yeah. True story.
Okay, Rush Limbaugh.
This is not about free health care for people. This is not about making sure the poor, the disadvantaged, or middle-class people who can't afford it have health care. It's about the government running it. Once the government has control over your health care, they control every aspect of your life.
Is Hitler coming?
Health care has always been, nationalized health care has always been one of the first objectives of any of the famous totalitarian regimes.
Here we go.
Hitler.
Right. There it is.
First thing he did, nationwide health care.
No. Bismarck did that in 1880.
Hold your calls. We have our first Hitler of the morning, everybody.
Hitler, the Prime Minister of England, the Prime Minister of France, Minister of Germany, the Prime Minister of every country in Europe.
They're all Hitler.
You know,
because they have health care.
Is it me, or can you kind of hear the Hitler train coming down the tracks? Like, like a minute before they get to it, it's like, hang on, wait for it. Here, okay, Hitler. That's where we're going.
We call that the Hitler Doppler effect.
Yes. Thank you. All right, Jesse Lee Peterson.
Yes, who is?
He's
a far-right preacher who is a frequent guest on the Hannity program.
Uh-huh.
Surprise, surprise.
And this is one of his sermons.
Okie dokie, then.
It is over for America. is because women are taking over. Women are taking over. They're in high, so-called powerful positions. And now they're running companies. They're making decisions.
Radio shows.
And the one thing I know for sure, without a doubt, women cannot handle power. It's not in them to handle power in the right way.
Oh, wow.
They don't know what to do with it.
I think you guys can pretty much put that to rest. I'm a power mad biatch.
Well, yes, there's that.
Man, somebody needs to get laid.
Well, judging from his voice, I think that ship has sailed. That's not going to be happening anytime soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, the modern Republican Party.
And there you have it. He sounds like he had one lung, can I just say? Well, he was a little Darth Vader-y.
He was.
That was heavy breathing.
Or five Klonopins.
I think he was thinking of a female dominatrix is what he was thinking of. Just
you gave him too much power, and pretty soon they're walking on your back with spikes.
Yes, mistress, may I have another?
They can't handle power. Oh, ah, oh, yeah.
I said, back to last night in the dungeon.
Yes, Mistress Palin.
I forgot my safe word.
There is no safe word.
No. I have a feeling that his safe word has something to do with Obamacare.
Yes. No, the safe word, Jim has tried to warn us. The safe word is always
Mizrahi.
Right. Okay. Just do it.
Mizrahi. You got a snort out of Carl.
Pat Fagan, Washington Watch Radio?
Yes.
This is new for me.
What this court case said was young people have the right to engage in sex outside of marriage. Society never gave young people that right.
That never happens.
Functioning societies don't do that. They stop it. They punish it. They corral people. They shame them. They do whatever.
They stone them to death.
The institution for the expression of sexuality is marriage.
Wow. Mm. Wow. And the clergy, according to some priests.
Wow.
Yeah, you remember yesterday when you made the Talkers 100 and you were number 12?
Thank you. Oh, well, thanks for bringing that up. Don't tell number 17 Laura Ingraham. But yes, what's your point?
This is how they get to the 100 in the Talkers 100. Shows like this.
Yeah.
Shows where people, you're like, really? They have a show?
They'll give a shot to anybody.
I'm surprised that they don't have a heavy 1,000.
All right. Thank you, Carl. Love you. See you. Oh, I won't see you next week, but Hal will.
Yes.
All right.
I'll see talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Hooray.
Hooray. We'll be on vacay next week.
Thank God.
Dear God. 18 minutes after this.
Judging by what's gone on so far this morning.
Right?
Yes, I need
it. Oh, this Pope stress is making us all snap. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I love disco. I hear it's making a comeback.
Oh, for God's sake. You're not allowed to say that. Make that joke ever again. All right. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kelly Carlin, live in studio in hour number 3.
That's right.
And Jim has to leave early. Why? Because no one cares about his dad. All right. No, that's not true. We want to hear all about your dad. However, Kelly Carlin has an amazing show.
A Carlin Home Companion is what it's called.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That she will come and do a talk about. Anyway.
But my dad was a fan of George Carlin. So.
There you go. See? It's a magical degree of separation. And we have some terrific bass on the show today.
Yes. Representative Karen Bass from the great state of California.
Right.
Can we have a moratorium on that joke?
No, you didn't. You know what I'm going to do just for that? I'm going to inflict the disco version of Don't Cry for Argentina in honor of the new Pope.
Our good friend Glenn. Our good friend Glenn sent this.
Awesome if, like, all the Cardinals had a, like, dance routine behind him. Like the Supremes.
Oh, this is awful.
I love it. They're all dancing in their little red slippers. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Pope Francis.
Let us begin this journey together, the successor and the people, and this journey for the Roman Catholic Church. It is a journey of a friendship, of love, of a trust and faith between us. Let us pray always for one another. Let us pray for the whole world. Because let us have a big brotherhood.
All right.
And also,
right.
What's the matter, you? Hey, upstairs and no downstairs.
You got no respect. Then he said that's a spicy meatball. Why can't you and I get a job as a translator? Wouldn't it be a lot more entertaining?
Sure.
What's the secret word?
If we, chloroformed the Pope translator, snuck in there. And also, that's a spicy meatball. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
Like a big pizza
that's
pie.
That's amore. Okay. Yeah. Just my little dream.
Quando
okay.
La luna.
Pasta bangul.
No.
I would just do
the
whole dialogue from The Sopranos. Just something about.
Guarda la luna. That's from
right.
Moonstruck.
Sure, yeah. Exactly. Who would like some Pope fun facts?
What?
What?
Snap out of it.
Right. That's what he's going to say to the church. We got to.
Snap out of it.
Wow.
Snap out
Pope
of the scandal
share?
Era.
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Oh, a bunch of Pope shares singing Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. Is there a Pope crowning? Is there a Pope? What happens? Isn't there something?
He's already Pope.
He's poped?
Why
is there no ceremony? Why are the costumes if there's not going to be some big musical or something? Shouldn't there be? Don't they present the Pope as like an inauguration? Like inauguration?
They already did last night.
That's it?
That's it. He's already poping.
No Pope shares? No roller skates? Nothing? They don't fly him in like Sandy Duncan? Something.
But he did
nothing. There should be more pageant. No. I want spectacle.
He appears out of the floor like in Xanadu.
Right.
Dry ice. Yeah.
And then he does some rhythmic gymnastics.
Nice and white satin. We're just trying to help. We're being helpers. There should be something like a royal thing. What do they call that?
It's
when there's
coronation.
A new queen.
He does wheelies in the Pope Mobile.
A new coronation. Yes!
Like
wheelies.
Nitro funny cars.
That's helping.
Sunday.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I must say, ever since you started having regular intercourse, your mind has lost its keen edge. You should reflect on that.
Wait.
It is the...
That's the same time you got a smartphone, too.
Wait. Where's my smartphone at?
That's how I answer my smartphone.
What?
It's not so smart if you can't tell me where it is.
Oh, did you want me to tell you the dumb thing I did with my smartphone yesterday?
Yeah.
Remember you were trying to teach me how to send text to my email?
Yes.
So and you gotta mark each of them separately?
Right.
And it was a particularly long chain that I was trying, so I was marking all of them separately, and then someone called, and I hit decline, and they all went away. Now I gotta start.
You know what? There might be a way
to
check them all.
At once?
Yeah, there might be. But, you know, you demanded answers right then and there. So.
As I do. As I barked at you.
Yes.
It sounded like my St. Bernard Chester.
Yes.
That's all you hear. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
And Charlie called.
Charlie Pierce called and said, if we play that disco Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, in honor of the new Pope again, he will stab his eyes out.
Uh-oh.
Taunt me like that, Charlie. You know I'm gonna do it. What do they call it? A something.
Nausea? What?
No, you said there's a Pope thing, a Pope of.
Oh, there's a
Pope-a-thon.
I think there's an invocation they call that.
Oh,
it's gonna be on Tuesday, and Vice President Biden is going.
Oh, it's not a Pope-a-thon?
No.
A pulpit? Invocation?
Invocation.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just saying, I want a little
spectacle. Is there an outvocation?
A little pageantry, a little something. A little something for the people.
It needs to be exactly like the final scene of Xanadu.
Maybe Lady Gaga? Exactly. With the roller skates and the headdress?
And the headdresses. And the change of costumes and everything.
Awesome.
Xanadu don't. Just Xanadu don't.
Okay. And I would like that other song I like. I would like What's New Buenos Aires done on maybe ice skates. A little on ice.
Like ice castles?
Right. Maybe Robbie Benson would like to come and get involved.
Mark Sanford should play Che Guevara.
Yes!
All right, who would like...
He likes the Argentina.
Yes, the Argentinian tale. Trail. Trail. Who would like some Pope fun facts?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he is 76.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody said 73. No.
Oh, he's older than
me. He says no.
No. Argentinian Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio?
Bergoglio.
It doesn't matter anymore. He's just Francis now.
Yes.
Frank.
Or any... Hey, yo, Pope
Frank.
Yo, why don't they
in
name a Pope
wee
something like
small
Bob.
Hours something. Of the morning.
Pope Ed.
Pope Fred.
Fred's a good one.
Pope Jake.
Pope Dick. Oh, that's probably...
No. All right. What? No. Okay. Anyway, he is now named Francis. Were any other mule names considered, or only Francis?
I believe he was named after Francis of Assisi.
Francis the Talking Mule.
Oh. Okay.
Who probably knew Francis the Talking Mule?
That could
probably
be.
Taught him
right.
to speak.
There yeah. you go. See? He is the first Jesuit pope and the first non-European pope since the 8th century.
Mm-hmm. Ay, caramba.
Bergoglio has...
Bergoglio.
Right. Francis. Frank.
Sure.
Has affirmed church teaching on homosexuality, contraception, and abortion, considered to be among the most conservative in Latin America.
Great.
Yikes. In 2010, for instance, he stated same-sex adoption is a form of discrimination against children, as I said, and has said that same-sex marriage is a scheme to destroy God's plan and a real and dire anthropological throwback.
Huh?
Yikes. And what? Okay. Huh? Okay, he strongly opposed...
They twist themselves into pretzels
Pope
trying to
Francis
justify their discrimination.
Yeah. Maybe, maybe it's the one lung. Maybe he didn't have enough
air
to finish that thought.
Yeah.
He strongly opposed legislation introduced in 2010 by the Argentinian government to allow for marriage equality.
Mm-hmm.
However, he has focused on helping the poor throughout his career, noting not the gays, not the poor gays, presumably.
Oh, God, no.
Right. The suffering of innocent and peaceful continues to slap us. He's going to say, snap out of it.
Snap out of it!
He's Pope Cher now,
yeah.
to us. The contempt for the rights of individuals and peoples are so far away. The rule of money with his demonic effects as drugs, corruption, trafficking people, including children, along with material and moral poverty, are big problems. He's somebody thinking of the children.
Mm-hmm.
not the altar boys. Again,
well, I'm sure
he's
always.
The others.
Never mind.
Right. In 2001, he discouraged people from spending the money to fly to Rome to celebrate with him when he became a cardinal, and advised that they instead donate the funds to help alleviate poverty at home.
That's nice.
He lived in a simple apartment, cooked his own food, and traveled by bus.
And bicycle when it was nice out.
Instead of a chauffeured limousine.
Yeah.
Well, he can't do the bus now with the hat.
And you can't do a bicycle with those robes.
Right. And you can't do a bike with that hat
right.
now. Unless do they tack it on? How do they hold the hat on? I'm just curious.
Yeah. You know what?
One could make a bike helmet that looks like a pope.
Sure. You know what one of the first things he did after he became pope was?
How long would it take him to get on the bus? Come on! I gotta get to work! Boink.
Hey, what's the matter, you?
I'm telling you, you cannot get on here with that hat. I'm sorry, what, Chris?
You know what one of the first things he did after he became pope was?
What?
He went back to his hotel room and paid his bill.
Oh. Because they probably would have known where to find him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's probably the last bill that he's ever going to have to pay.
Knocking on the door of the Vatican. I just sent the bill collectors. Hey, listen. This place is big. What room are you in? I know you're here. Don't pretend you're not. I saw you turn the lights out.
You would think that the Vatican would have an extra room that these cardinals could stay in. Why did he have to stay in a hotel?
Yes, because you don't get hotel porn.
You got the old pope hanging around.
Oh, he's in Castalia Famiglia or whatever.
Yeah, but he's going to be there. He's probably there in his underwear watching HBO. I was just saying, what is
the Vatican has awesome porn channels.
What is Pope Benny doing?
It's almost
now?
Like being in Utah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or our previous studio.
Hey, did you eat the last of my cheese doodles? Okay.
It's in Castello Pizzeria 2.
Okay. All right. And
more fun facts?
Well, yes, except I just love the headline. Pope's one lung shouldn't affect duties. This is the funnest of the fun fact. The new pope has daunting challenges, the AP writes, ahead ranging from the church sex abuse scandal to reinvigorating the flock, and Francis will have to do it all with just one lung.
Yep.
He lost the greater part of one lung to a teenage infection. He's a little bit slowed by it, said his biographer, but he's okay. Doctors said, these are fun facts.
Oh, well, okay.
All right. Doctors say that losing one lung doesn't necessarily compromise the Pope's health or reduce his lifespan, though it means no strenuous exercise.
Can't be in the Tour de France.
That's because Benny's probably hogging the elliptical anyway.
Yeah.
Get off my machine!
Or maybe he prefers the recumbent bike. I don't know.
He's going past the allotted 30 minutes.
Right.
And you didn't wipe the sweat off!
Yeah.
So I told you, that is gross. He probably wouldn't be able to run marathons, but I don't think that would be on his schedule. Don't think so, said one doctor. The doctor said he didn't think a papal schedule would be too taxing for Francis's one lung. Though he noted the Pope's rib cage might look slightly unusual, his x-ray will probably look rather alarming, but understandable once you know he only has one lung. Yeah, that would... I see what's happening. That would look odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said back when Francis had his lung removed, the available antibiotics weren't as powerful. In the past, doctors used to try all kinds of strange things to try to treat lung infections, said one doctor. She said physicians even used to stick ping pong balls into people's lungs in an attempt to starve the lung of oxygen to kill bacteria.
That sounds
That has since been proven dangerous.
Yeah, especially the ping pong balls come from Thailand, because
you get all kinds of infections from those.
Okay, now that's sacrilegious. Everything we've done up till now...
What, the big Xanadu dance number?
That was fine. Now that was sacrilegious. You made it all dirty now. Okay. Karma in Alabama, you're on the step.
Porn in the Vatican wasn't sacrilegious.
I didn't say that.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello, Karma.
Hey, how are you?
You know, some people say Karma's a bitch, but don't you listen to them.
Stop it.
I'm darling, defending. All right, go ahead.
Darling, believe me, Karma is a bitch. The number one thing I wanted to say to you before my question is I want to thank you for educating me on what a stupid government we have in D.C. And if we could take the sorry-ass Republicans out of there and get some people who are in the real world, we'd be better off.
Yep.
But my question is, I've worked all my life, paid in Social Security, and then later on paid into FICA.
You're entitled to it in some way, just because you've paid into it.
It an entitlement, or did I pay for it and it's mine? Exactly. That's what kills me.
Yeah, don't you love that? Literally, you can't say it enough. It is our money.
Entitled to this insurance plan that you paid into.
I mean, it's like putting money in the bank and then you go to get it and they're like, oh, you moocher.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You want your money.
I gave that to McCain when he needed to go on vacation. I am sick of this.
Yeah.
And the other question I have for you, isn't there a place in our Constitution that says there will be no taxation without representation?
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yes.
And all the license plates in D.C.
Yep. It really would be like your ATM if you just put a card in and just went, no.
No.
You.
No.
You're not.
No.
Don't.
We spent your money.
Sorry, we have it now.
We need to cut your entitlement.
Yeah.
It's bloated. Entitlements are, you moocher. All right.
Expected your money to still be here?
Sheesh. Who do you think you are?
47%er. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is great radio.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord. life get any better?
We
have a new pope. And I've made, what is this, radio equalizer again?
Yeah.
Is this a sister thing of Newsbusters?
Brian Mulroney.
Oh, right.
He's the guy that Hannity has on every week.
Oh, hi, Brian.
I'm sure this video is going to be played.
Awesome. Oh, I'll be on Left Wing Hate Speech this week again? Uh-huh. Awesome. Thank you, Brian. It's a nice picture of me. It's, let's see, liberal radio host wonders if Laura Ingraham likes hair pull during sex. I, as I recall, was actually defending Laura Ingraham and saying the Stephanie Miller Show has no information on whether she likes her hair pulled during sex. You two
somehow
are the ones that always get me in trouble because you do the impression part of her having an orgasm. And
you're the one who
saying,
said, do it.
Pull my hair.
You're the one who said, do
and
it.
I said, the Stephanie Miller Show apologizes. We have no information on whether she does or not. So don't do it. Ask her first. I defended her. I said, ask her first. Don't do it. She might not like it.
Show some, I like a little slap on the ass.
The Stephanie Miller Show has no permission.
Although she seems like someone who would enjoy that.
Stephanie Miller Show has no information on whether Laura Ingraham is a little slap on the ass.
Are we on vacation yet?
But I know I do. Okay.
Oh, hello.
Okay, make sure you include that in right-wing world, Hannity, or left-wing hate speech, or whatever
when
your
number
thing is.
When you're number 17, you're below the slap on the ass.
Sure.
Number 12.
Let me see. When you're number 12, you enjoy a little slap on the ass for a second. When you're number 17, you don't have the self-esteem to enjoy that.
That's what Janice Ian was writing about at 17. At 17, no one would slap Janice Ian on the ass.
Laura Ingraham doesn't have the self-esteem to enjoy the slap.
She has a copy of Talkers.
Oh, God.
17 next to the bed. It's tear-stained and next to the bed. Okay.
Oh, God.
Okay, could we have some... Because I love when they helpfully include a transcript.
They do.
Okay.
You want some transcript music?
This is probably what you'll see on Hannity tonight.
We have transcript
on
music?
On up.
Oh, there it is.
Yes.
Well, I always appreciate when they supply it because I enjoy... Then I get a chance to enjoy the show. I don't get to listen to the show.
Right.
This way, I get to read it back and go, oh, well, that was funny. I would enjoy that show if I were not in the radio and I could listen to myself on the radio.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
All right, you guys can debate Laura Ingraham orgasm just in honor of me, you know, being so many spaces above her.
You goaded us.
Co-host LaBoy and Ward make whining and moaning sounds.
Whining?
Jim Ward.
No, it's kind of annoying.
Jim Ward, more to the right. Chris LaBoy, do me. Jim Ward, not to the left, to the right. Pull my hair. Applause sound effect.
Wow, they're good. They're transcribers.
Stephanie
really
Miller. She's already mad. We might as well make her madder. It's like when you blow your diet. Ah, well, screw it. Oh, that was funny.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Chris LaVoy. Just eat this whole bag of Snickers. Stephanie Miller. However, the Stephanie Miller Show would like to point out that we do have no information about whether Laura Ingraham actually likes her hair pulled during sex. See?
Just speculation.
Chris LaVoy. I think she does.
I'm not helping,
just
am I?
Just when I get out of trouble, you pull me back in. Stephanie Miller, and we apologize if she does not. See? I try to make it better again.
They're not going to run that part on Hannity. You know that.
Jim Ward, it wouldn't surprise me if she did.
Didn't I just
Stephanie
say?
Miller, please don't do it without asking her. Jim Ward, right. See what's left-wing hate speech about that? I think we were being helpers.
Very little danger that I'm going to find out if any of that's true.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, pretty.
You know what, though? They're going
to
run
close to zero.
They're going to run the slap on the ass part from today.
You think so?
On
tonight's
show.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Because that's news. That's what's important in this country.
Yeah, we broke news with that. The pulling hair stuff, that's old news.
That's what's stopping the governance of this country.
Sequester,
us making
destroying
jokes
the country,
like that.
Military not getting paid. No,
right,
really.
Right.
But us talking about Laura Ingraham getting slapped on the ass.
Stop saying it!
What?
Jonathan in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, Mama. Hey, Mooks.
Hello.
Hey.
I wanted to mention that the GOP, you know, the party of big banks and insurance companies,
mm-hmm.
would have a problem with paying into something your whole life, like Social Security, because you'd have a guaranteed payout. I don't think they believe in the guaranteed payout. I mean, they're fine with you paying into insurance, but, you know, if you could pay into insurance policy your whole life, but if you didn't read the fine print or if their team of investigators can find some reason why they don't have to pay you back, and that's just like 100% profit for them.
Yeah.
Why would they want a program where you can get that money back?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a, you know, a lot of people say it's the last big tranche of money that they haven't gotten their grubby little paws on.
That's right.
Hey, the headline is, yes, America still rejects Republican ideas. It's official. According to the latest polling, Republicans are losing the sequester blame game that goes along with their 72% disapproval rating. Nicely done. Here's some polling questions. As part of a budget agreement that would replace the across-the-board budget cuts, would you support or oppose cutting military spending in a more targeted way? 58% support that, 38% oppose that. That's what the president and Democrats want.
Yep.
Question, as part of a budget agreement that would replace the across-the-board budget cuts, would you support or oppose cutting spending on Medicaid, which is the government health insurance program for the poor? 28% support that, 71% oppose that. Leave Medicare and Medicaid out of the sequester game, the people are saying, once again. This is consistent with all of the polling that's been done since Republicans started manufacturing all of these deficit crises, quote-unquote, keep low- and middle-income people safe. The American public has said over and over again, and tax the wealthy, which is precisely the opposite of the vision Republicans have of the country, the vision that lost in 2012, the vision they're still pushing with their latest manifesto, this year's Paul Ryan.
Premium support.
His, right, that, my daily post. Very good. Very good dice analysis of what the peoples want.
Yep.
The president yesterday.
Ultimately, it may be that the differences are just too wide
between the two sides.
Yeah, right. No. Well, because the Senate Democrats put out a plan, Patty Murray's plan, which is makes sense. And Paul Ryan's budget makes no sense whatsoever. And so they're
way far apart.
By the way, remember that piece I read yesterday, Mike Tomosky in the Daily Beast, like giving the president advice on how to handle this? He kind of did with Stephanopoulos. He's like, Paul Ryan, don't you think you should counter? And the president's like, no. No, I don't. No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, he literally, that's the thing. It's like, don't play on Paul Ryan's home field. Don't go, oh, well, don't you feel the need to counter this with your own? He said, no. No. My job is to get people back to work and, you know, however
and
he answered it.
Not deal with this nonsense.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, if they're going to talk about entitlement reform, one thing they could do is lift the cap on Social Security so that people making above $150,000
would
be paying into it.
Right. Right. I believe, let's see, I'm trying to think here. Patty Murray has some stuff in there about, I mean, there are ways to, for savings that don't involve, I cannot believe he's back with this ridiculous voucher program. It's like, what did we say? What
we
did
said
we
no.
just say?
We said no.
A voucher program and kill the post office.
It's like a kid asking for a Skippy Pop. I said no. What did I say? I said no.
No.
A what?
You just had all your teeth pulled out.
A Skippy Pop?
I don't even think that's a thing.
That's not a thing. What is
a Skippy Pop?
Skippy Pop? Skippy Cup?
You've been...
No. A Sippy Cup or a...
Freezy Pop?
Tootsie Pop? Blow Pop.
Savoy Truffle.
I think it's possible I'm having a brain-related event right now.
Pull her hair.
Ginger Sling with a pineapple heart.
Could someone give me a little slap on the ass?
Jim, that's your territory. I ain't getting anywhere near her ass.
I'm a little confused. Okay. All right. Lots more to delve into with the Patty Murray's budget and the budget monsters as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Kelly Carlin live in studio with us next hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Sexy Liberal, the Sexy Liberal, SexyLiberal.com, that website. April 13th, Chicago Theater. Hurry! Tickets going very fast. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or tablet like we do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. GoToMyPC.com, promo code is Stephanie. All right. By the way, someone tweeted us that the Vatican might not have porn channels, but they do have immaculate reception.
Yes. Hey.
All right. Everybody gentle down on the Pope. All right. We have lots to get to, including budget and sequester stuff. The president went and met with House Republicans yesterday.
That's right.
We check in with Representative Karen Bass of the great state of California. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you there?
Good. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Absolutely.
Well, boy, it's not encouraging thus far, looking at Paul Ryan's budget and then Senator Murray's budget in the Senate, right? I mean, we are pretty far apart.
Well, exactly, and I was disappointed by Representative Ryan's budget. I mean, you would have thought off of the campaign trail he would have moderated his tone a bit. Instead, he went much further to the right, saying we're going to balance the budget in 10 years, which means we are going to decimate what remains of our safety net in our country.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right, Representative. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised, but it really is pretty stunning that he just lost a landslide election. Not only is he back with the voucher thing, they said this. He was campaigning saying the sequester cuts were going to be devastating and we're going to lose all these jobs, and now he includes that in there. He includes the sequester cuts in his budget.
And so it's just further evidence as to who really rules here. You know, it is the Tea Party caucus that has really taken over and has a stranglehold on the Republican caucus, because I can't think of a faction more extreme than that. And clearly Speaker Boehner has decided to bow to them, but now so has Paul Ryan.
Well, yeah, and as the president said yesterday, I mean, unfortunately, he said the differences may be too wide. So what happened? Where do we go from here, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, it's a very interesting question. It seems as though, and we'll see what plays out in the next few weeks, but it seems as though the House leadership under Speaker Boehner has abdicated responsibility to the Senate. And if you remember, he did that most recently, and I think that he's going to do that again, meaning that he kind of throws his hands up in the air. We will pass a budget next week, but it will be a budget that everyone will understand will be dead on arrival in the Senate, and then he will wait for the Senate to send something back over here, and then what I hope he does is break his tie to the Hastert rule and allow the budget or the continuing resolution, whatever, will come over from the Senate to pass with Democratic votes and not hold the line that says the only thing that he's going to put up for a vote is a bill that the majority of the Republican caucus will vote for. Because the only thing the majority of the Republican caucus is going to vote for are crazy propositions like Paul Ryan is proposing.
Yeah. Well, and Representative, of course, there's the president again reaching out. He went, to their own turf to meet with House Republicans yesterday. And the details that have leaked out, Representative, do not inspire confidence, let's just say. I guess one of the Representative James Lankford, Republican of Oklahoma, your colleague, he basically wanted he had a Q&A, right, with them. And you think, gee, are we going to get any closer on these important issues of, involving the economy and jobs? What he asked is how come the president called Steve Israel, the head of the DS, the Democratic Campaign Committee, on election night instead of John Boehner? And the president said that wasn't true. He had called Boehner, and Boehner had gone to sleep. Boehner said the president was right. I mean, really?
This is what they're
using to tie. And then another one asked why the White House decided to suspend White House tours. I mean, because of the sequestration you just voted for. That's why. I mean, it's just...
Those are real earth-shattering issues that the whole nation is waiting to hear the answer to.
I know, because you think, we're waiting for the white smoke. Has any movement happened on the budgets? Maybe this meeting is going to... And literally, that's what this is about, I mean...
The first term, it was about making sure that he didn't get reelected, right?
Right.
And I believe, even though we're several months past November now, I do believe that my Republican colleagues continue to be disoriented. They haven't found their sea legs. They didn't have a plan B. They were so convinced that his election the first time was an anomaly that they were just going to correct things the second time. And it really, they really not come to grips with the fact that the majority of the country supports the president and supports his policies. So without a plan B, that leaves them spinning their wheels. So we all have to push for them to come to reality.
I agree. I mean, that's got to be one of the most stunning moments since the election, isn't it? Did you see Paul Ryan on with Chris Wallace on Fox News, of all places, when he said your budget supposes the repeal of Obamacare? And he's like, yes. And he said, Chris Wallace says, well, that's not going to happen. And Paul Ryan says, well, we think it should. It's like, well,
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. But you know what? Remember now that what Speaker Boehner said right after the election. He sounded reasonable. He said the people have spoken. The Supreme Court has spoken.
Right.
Healthcare reform is here to say, to stay. Every time that man says something reasonable, within a half hour of his statement, somebody makes him retract it. I don't know if it's the staff. I don't know if it's the Tea Party. But, you know, he pretty much has decided he's not going to lead.
Yeah. I know. I mean, and Paul Ryan, this whole interview with the National Review where he said, I think conservatives have a better chance of triumphing after Obamacare takes effect. It's like,
right.
What? I mean, literally, they're not done with this election, I guess, even though they've lost.
Exactly. But, you know, I do have to say, I always think about the bigger picture and what comes down the road. And we will have another election. And I certainly hope that the American people will see, as long as they are in place, we're not going to move forward as a country. We do need to understand that the Tea Party did not come to Washington to govern. They came to Washington to dismantle and to destroy.
Right.
We need to come to grips with that, and we need to make the change that will allow our country to move forward.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, I would hate to be you in the House right now, but you're doing the best you can, and we appreciate you updating us. Representative
Thank
Karen
you.
Bass, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. She seems chuckly for having to work with the likes of the budget monster. Can I have some hopeful music? Oh, this is a hopeful story.
Oh?
Yes.
Okay.
The budget monster, Paul Ryan, he expressed optimism about the Republicans' political position in the wake of President Obama's reelection.
What would give him a sense of optimism?
That seems more like delusion to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Conservatives have a better chance of triumphing, he said.
Sure.
After Obamacare is fully implemented in the coming months. Oh, yes. I'm sure that's...
He's like living in opposite land.
Yeah, exactly. So just because the election didn't go our way, that means we're supposed to change our principles? Yes.
Well, you should probably get some, alternatively.
That's what elections are for, you see.
Go down to Principles R Us.
Yes. Yours lost. Loser. A budget is supposed to be a display of your vision. Our vision is a world without Obamacare.
Wow, really?
And unicorns that... And leprechauns.
That's a vision?
Gold dust.
Yep.
Okay.
In honor of St. Patrick's Day.
That's a Ron Christie-like vision.
Oh.
Somewhat counterintuitively, given Obama's recent and commanding re-election victory, Ryan said Republicans are actually much better positioned. Now they got him just where they want him. To advance their political agenda in the president's second term. Right. I think it's different now that the rubber's hitting the road with respect to Obama's policies, Ryan said. We ran against the Obama policies before they were implemented. No, he actually ran on a lot of the things that he already got done and that he ran on the first time. Okay. In the second term, they're implementing these things. I don't want to say we're going to enjoy going around the country saying, I told you so, but we're going to have to say, I told you so, and here's a better way. Here is a voucher for 2 cents.
Yeah. It's a coupon for $2 off a value meal at Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see this last election
and
as the end of this
we'll
story.
We'll take out one of your lungs.
That's the Pope special.
Please.
I
don't see this election as the end of this story. It's the end of your story, little Eddie. Yes, it is. I see it as a chapter in this story. Oh, he's so precious. The chapter we're entering is one where conservatives have a better chance of triumphing.
Yes.
Okay.
You just go with that.
Whatever.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie? That is so wonderful that you're so...
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Lucky.
I won't go! I won't! You can't beat me! You can't!
All right.
Here's the same piece of dung in different packaging.
Here. Let me rewrap it. Oh, he re-gifted his voucher program.
Yeah.
Aw.
He's one of those.
Eddie, come on. Come up with a new crappy program. All right, look, everyone's a little overexcitable about the new Pope, including Rocky Mountain Mike.
I left my sin. With Pope Francisco. In Roman Hills.
That's soothing.
That's all I got. I'm sorry. That's all I
got. Good, Mike. Thank you. All right.
I left my lungs
in Argentina.
He did. He left his lung in Argentina.
He did.
And his heart. Okay. 17.
He still has his heart.
Yeah, it's just a little displaced, according to that doctor, because of the one lung, and then that moves your diaphragm and your rib cage over.
Wow.
Yeah, because the one lung compensates.
So he probably shouldn't try to do the boogaloo.
No.
No.
No, or the electric slide either.
He should also try and get that ping pong ball out of there.
Yeah. I hope he's not hoping to. Hope he's not planning on shagging at the inauguration. Or what is it? Invocation.
Invocation.
Right. Okay. What the hell is that? Oh. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
As it turns out, the revolution will not be televised. It's on the radio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
There's a headline. 23 minutes think you can after the hour. 1-800
repeat that entire headline.
Well, it's encrusted hell cruise.
It's another Carnival cruise ship in the Caribbean. Despite overflowing toilets and human waste all over the floor, passengers are being forbidden from leaving a Carnival cruise ship docked in St. Martin.
Welcome to Carnival.
Ain't we got fun?
Mm-mm-mm. And now, here's another story about poo.
Okay.
You brought it up. Bellwood, Pennsylvania, 17 tons of human waste spilled in a Pennsylvania truck crash.
Ooh.
Zoinks. Authorities say a driver will face charges after his truck hit a ditch and crashed on a snow-covered road in central Pennsylvania, spilling 17 tons of processed. Oh, at least it was processed.
Oh, it was processed.
Processed
well,
human waste.
Is that like processed cheese?
Right.
Not exactly.
It's like the Velveeta of poo.
Poo Vita.
Okay. It comes
you know
in
what?
Shelf-stable chunks.
People need to start marking their calendars the week before vacation.
Yeah, just
either the best or the worst ever. Just weird brain parts continually. All right. Speaking of which, Kevin in Chicago writes, Chris, if you and Jim stop sexually harassing Stephanie or anyone for that matter, I swear I'll stop listening.
Oh.
My life revolves around sex, sexual harassment, and farts.
Okay.
Since I quit using drugs. Thank you all for fulfilling my life. You're welcome, Kevin.
You have a spectacular ass.
Thank you. Okay, and it likes a little slap during sex.
We found that out. And you have to tickle your butt to pee.
Yes. Dave in that whole area is just nothing
wow.
but fun. Okay, Dave.
That's nothing but nerve endings down there.
Dave.
Nothing but net.
Yep, nothing but net down there. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Show.
Thank you.
Look, Paul Ryan being thought of as one of the intellectual bright lights of the Republican Party
yeah.
is like being the prom queen in a leper colony. I would like to bring up one thing. I mean, the people of Ryan's hometown did reject the Romney
yes.
Ryan ticket, but then they turned right around and gave little Polly another congressional term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm beginning to wonder, how smart they really are.
Yeah. Exactly. The president, by the way, rejected little budget monster's proposal. He said he rejected the proposal put forward by Paul Ryan. He conceded to George Stephanopoulos differences with congressional Republicans may be too wide, admitting the GOP will only accept new tax revenues under the condition that deep cuts are applied to Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid, then we're probably not going to be able to get a deal. He said we're not going to balance the budget in 10 years because if you look at what Paul Ryan does to balance the budget, it means you have to voucherize Medicare. You have to slash deeply into programs like Medicaid. He added his goal is not to chase a balanced budget just for the sake of a balanced budget. The boner yesterday.
We know, however, that there are some very real differences between our two parties, like issues,
jobs,
balancing the budget, and
killing
what do we
people.
Do to get our economy moving again.
Why won't the president help us kill more poor people? He said, why won't he lead?
We have a mulch shortage in this country, so we need to turn all the poor people into mulch. And
why won't the president compromise on that?
There's more money for bronzer.
The boner.
Republicans want to balance the budget. The president doesn't. Republicans want to solve our long-term debt problems.
Debt problem.
The president doesn't. We want to unlock our energy resources to put more Americans back to work. The president doesn't.
What are you talking about?
But having said that, today was a good start.
It was a good start.
And I hope that these kinds of discussions can continue.
Sure.
What the hell was that? Made no sense at all.
No.
We need more.
We need more oil spills and more dead poor people.
It was a good start.
A good start.
How was it a good start? Okay, the boner one more time.
And I thought that we had a very frank and candid exchange of ideas. And frankly, I think it was productive.
It was productive.
Talk about sequestration?
Sequestration. As long as we get rid of entitlements. And more tax cuts for rich orange people.
Margaret in Texas. Hello, Margaret. Hello, Margaret. All right, Margaret. Margaret needs to turn the TV off or something that they say in Radio Land. Okay, Scott in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott. At least she was enjoying the show. We caught her enjoying the show.
Yes, we did. Good.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Stephanie. I love the show.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to find it. I had a brief comment. I'm glad you're not talking about the Pope so much, but I wanted to just quickly talk about...
Uh-oh. Like, are you egging me on to play Don't Cry For Me Argentina again? Don't make me do it, Scott. All right, go ahead.
I'm not going to troll either way on that one.
Okay. All right.
I just wanted to say that when I was growing up, I finally talked to a Catholic friend of mine who was a little bit older, and he explained to me that, you know, they... Catholic Church does not allow contraception, but he and his wife, they didn't want any more children, so they started wearing condoms, and he would just go in and take confession. So one of the things that drives me crazy when we have the Catholic bishops or any other religious group going into Congress to comment on the, you know, contraceptives or gay marriage, they always say that they speak for Catholics or they speak for Protestants, but they don't. They speak to them.
They speak at them. They're, you know, it's not exactly. And I think Catholics speak in one voice when they say.
I didn't know.
You're welcome.
Mark Sanford could sing like that.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ha! Oh boy, that laugh is infectious. Ha! Ha! It's fun.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Let's see if Margaret's still laughing. Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
Oh, there you are. Hello, Margaret in Texas.
Hi.
Hi.
Love your show. Love
Thank you.
You. Love
Thank
all
you.
The guys.
Thank you.
Our enemy these days is the Republicans, sadly to say. They're trying to get rid of... everybody that isn't rich. They, I guess they're going to have their own food inspectors, chicken, fish.
Oh boy.
I heard
another libertarian paradise.
I heard there's a man that had a plant processing chickens in California. Big plant had to shut down because, there wasn't going to be any food inspectors. But I guess the Republicans have, especially the Senate and House Republicans, have their own meat inspectors, their own food inspectors.
Really? Wow.
And they think maybe, I don't know, are we going to see millionaires going to the fields to pick crops?
No, I don't think so. Clean their own toilets.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
That'll happen.
Yeah. Just inspect your own food, for God's sakes. Who cares? Just it's turned us into a nation of just, can you taste that? Does that taste bad to you? I don't know.
It tastes funny to you.
Inspect it yourself.
People, nanny state. People,
whatever.
47%ers want to have food safety.
Professional food inspectors, whatever. Okay. What is it? Oh, did you find it? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is put in honor of the new Pope. Oh, there it is.
Buenos Aires, disco version.
Oh.
What's new, Buenos
What's
Aires?
What's new? Well, the yes. Pope is new.
That's right.
Check it out, Buenos Aires. All right. I guess, that, yeah, well, she, Margaret loves our show. This guy, not so much. Who is this? Oh, Chris. Somebody named Chris has written regarding underarm sweat on Musclehead and Stephanie. I'm guessing that's you.
And you. You're Stephanie.
Listen, I have a tiny bit. Okay. Chris writes, I would think the producer and this, themselves would take notice as to the sweat there is under the arms. What? Is there no air in there, or are they just that nasty? It's enough to turn me off from watching. How many more viewers are you losing? I don't know. It's hard to say.
Hard
to say. What do you think, people?
We have no control over
really?
The air conditioning
Listen,
in here.
Listen,
they lock it down.
Exactly. Listen, it's menopause. Just shut up, Chris. Not you, Chris. That Chris.
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right.
I'm going through menopause, too, apparently.
You're going through sympathy. You're just sympathy menopause.
Sympathy pause.
And I appreciate it.
Wouldn't it be womenopause in your case?
David sure. in Minneapolis. Hello, David. Hello, David.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I work for the Department of Defense, and I don't know what the world is coming to when Republicans don't care about national defense anymore. The sequester is what I'm calling about. It's hitting my agency in April. We're all going to be forced, that would be all the employees, to take off one day a week for 20 weeks, which is a 20% pay cut, and it pretty much is going to make it impossible for us to fulfill our mission.
Well,
our
so mission no one's going to try to attack on those days, certainly.
Yes,
take
of course
off
not.
Too.
Right, right, right.
I just don't know what the world's coming to.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I mean,
they just want to blame everything on Obama.
Yeah.
They don't care if the world explodes, as long as they can blame Obama for it.
Yeah, what they do, in terms of the most important things in the world, they do care about, of course, is White House tours.
That's right.
Which is... What? The president having to answer that question.
I have to say, this was not a decision that went up to the White House, but what the Secret Service explained to us was that they're going to have to furlough some folks. What furloughs mean is that people lose a day of work and a day of pay.
So that's why they want White House tours. They want to make it dangerous for the president and his family.
Yeah, there you go. Because there aren't enough Secret Service to make sure people don't just, you know, break away from the pack.
Sure.
Okay. Jay Carney.
The White House runs the tours. We, the tours are of the White House. The Secret Service staffs the tours. The Secret Service came to us with a decision that because of the sequester cuts, it would be, in their view, impossible to staff those tours.
So we got our tour just in time. Apparently.
Yes,
yeah,
thank
did.
God. That's all we care about. We got ours. Screw yous. Yes.
Thank you, Eddie and Jonathan.
Right. All right. Ezra Kleiner, as I call him, Urza.
Urza. He loves that.
He writes a piece, The Gross Obsession with White House Tours. I mean, it really is. Yeah. It just is, points out the ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Of late, the Republicans have been pretty unimpressed by the sequester. It wasn't always so, of course. Back when it was first announced, Boehner called the cuts devastating and said they were never going to happen.
Huh.
Romney and Ryan crisscrossed the nation, warning that the sequester would be, again, devastating, would cause hundreds of thousands of jobs.
But now...
You know, disaster of epic proportions.
It's not a big deal.
Dogs and cats living here.
Sure.
Sequester, Sylvester, whatever.
GOP's new line is sequester is imperfect, but spending cuts are spending cuts, and the Republicans love spending cuts, except, of course, for the one that they don't love, and that is White House tours.
Well, that's
in fact,
because...
they hate it so much they're willing to dig into their own pockets to cover that. They can't abide the idea of the American people in a time of austerity would be denied the essential government function of
As long as they're packing heat and there's no Secret Service. That's
right.
What they want.
Eric Bolling, Sean Hannity have offered
right.
to pay for them.
So they don't want... poor people to get food stamps, but they want
right.
vacationers to
right.
have tours of the White
right.
House. Okay.
In the House, Louis Gohmert, who's a Gohmert,
yeah.
tried to pass an amendment saying no more golf trips for the president until the White House reopens the tours. That'll show him.
What an idiot.
The White House tours came up again when the president met with the House GOP, as I was telling Representative Bass. Really? That's what they used their time to ask the president about.
Mm-hmm.
And so Urza explains.
Ezra.
Right.
Klein.
Right. What we were just talking about, the Secret Service getting cut into the sequester, they took a look at things they do. One of the things is stand guard during White House tours so no one runs off and tries to attack the president. So rather than cutting the things they really
yeah.
do, yes, they cut White House tours, which seems reasonable.
That's why we need White House tours. We need them every hour on the hour with no security.
Why don't Republicans
well,
care about the president's safety?
First of all, they were saying that people get White House tours are generally people that, first of all, are connected and can get in, you know Congress people to get into the White House. It's not ordinary people even.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can call your congressman and have them
right.
arrange a White
but,
House
I mean,
tour
it's,
for you.
But most people are not able to get their congressman on the phone and get in, you know, get stuff like that. That's, That's what Ezra is talking about. He said, there's been a lot made in D.C. about how the sequester hasn't really been a disaster. Most Americans aren't feeling it. Well, it depends on who you ask. The folks losing unemployment checks don't tend to know their congressmen. Their parents don't hold fundraisers. They don't come to D.C. And before they come to D.C., they don't get a congressional staffer on the fold and build a relationship. They're hurting, but not in a way the political system actually sees, which is,
Military people are not getting tuition assistance now, which is devastating to them financially.
The furor over the White House tours is an unusually vivid example of this grossly unequal responsiveness. The GOP doesn't want to ease the pain of the sequester so much as they want to ease the political pain of the sequester. Their great fear right now is that the sequester will hurt someone who the political system will listen to. And that makes a good point. I mean, you know, people without money generally can't even travel to D.C., let alone get, you know, that's on their list of things to do, get their congressman on the phone.
They want to endanger Obama and his family. That's what they want.
Yep.
Karen in New Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Karen.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm calling because Mitch McConnell, about 10 minutes ago, was on the floor of the House and the Senate.
Yes.
And he wants today to be named John McCain Day in honor of his 40th year free from captivity.
Okay.
I want to review that. I think they should have kept him.
Stephanie Miller does not endorse that opinion.
Well, if they had, at least he'd be staying at a real Hilton in Hanoi, not the metaphorical one.
Stephanie Miller Show is going to pretend that that didn't just happen. Okay, and Jim didn't just say that.
What? There's a real Hilton
Thank
in
you.
Hanoi now.
Yes, there is.
Charlie in Aurora, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charlie.
Stephanie, hey, Moots, what's going on? The correlation is there. By the way, I'm coming from Jan Schakowsky country.
Yes.
Love me some Jan Schakowsky. She's awesome.
Yep.
Chris Crawford in South Carolina. I mean, even though pretty much he just let it slip and said the soft part loud and the loud part soft on how it's, you know, pretty much chic to go against the black guy. What I'm noticing is everything from day one of the first term. I mean, I think that is no matter what's going on with the sequester and every other appointee he's ever had and every other idea he's ever had, if it's anything Obama,
right?
I'm saying, I mean, them saying it's not racism, it's just pathetic. I mean, this is just the way it's gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the other thing is. Again, you look at everything that is just unprecedentedly obstructionist, and nominees getting filibustered?
Mm-hmm.
Unprecedented. In a closed-door lunch meeting with Senate Democrats yesterday, President Obama expressed his frustrations with Republicans slow-walking and filibustering of key nominees, urged them to address the issue. This comes as Senate Democratic leaders must weigh plans to confront ongoing GOP obstruction of Obama nominees, including multiple high-profile filibusters, just weeks after the parties agreed to Senate rules reforms intended to grease the confirmation. Again, it's just about saying no to anything that Obama wants. I mean, it's...
My entire motivation is to deny the president a third
term. Exactly.
Thank you.
Senator Elizabeth Warren, who is awesome, and crafted the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and initially helped lead it, excoriated Republicans for refusing to confirm a nominee to lead the agency. This is a perfect example. She said, from the way I see how other agencies are treated, I see nothing here but a filibuster threat against Director Cordray as an attempt to weaken the consumer agency. I think the delay in getting him confirmed is bad for consumers, it's bad for small banks, it's bad for credit unions, it's bad for anybody trying to offer an honest product in an honest market. The American people deserve a Congress that worries less about helping big banks and more about helping regular people who've been cheated on mortgages, on credit cards, on student loans, on credit records. Warren was responding to their promise to block the nominee. I mean, this is how they're going to weaken. 43 Republican senators have written a letter pledging to block the confirmation of the director unless Democrats agree to scale back the agency's authority, unless they agree to weaken it. I mean, what is the point? That leaves Democrats with a dilemma. If they don't overcome the filibuster, they'll have to decide whether to change the rules or accept a weakened, directorless Consumer Protection Agency. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's... Hello. Get Jeff Merkley on the phone. Let's go with the filibuster reform. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is great radio.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't always get what you want.
But if you try sometimes, you might find you can.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Uh-huh. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Kelly Carlin joins us live in studio next hour in just a few minutes. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Eric in Tampa. Hey, Eric.
Hey, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
I just got that volume off. You would have hung up on me.
Okay.
You just talked about Harry Reid agreeing to reform filibuster rules with that bag of pus, Mitch McConnell. And I'm wondering how Harry Reid feels about that handshake that he gave him over that.
As
all these people get filibustered. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But what I really called about is, can you and all the other people that do what you do stop talking about these Republican crises that are manufactured without, like, ringing a bell or something? Start getting it into people's heads that if we don't attack these Republicans all the time for doing it, because all they have to do is not filibuster. It's them shutting up that would stop these crises. And I don't think people mention that enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we just did.
Yes.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
With a bell. Shut up. All right. And Mitch McConnell is a bag of pus. Let's review what we've learned from
right.
that phone call. Okay. Jim in Chicago. Hello, Jim.
Yeah. Hey, Stephanie. Love your show.
Thank you.
You guys are cracking me up.
Thank you.
For sure. The Democrats have to get with it and create a policy that's going to bring the voters to the polls. Because the Republicans' answer is tax breaks. It's always been like, hey, we're going to cut taxes. We're going to cut your taxes. That's what's going to get you off your feet and to the polls and vote for us. Where the Democrats have to come up, one-up them on that so they can get through the other policies that they want. And it's to be reciprocal with the taxpayers' money by creating a jobs program that's going to put people back in this country back to work by giving the taxpayer back a portion of his money to create jobs by creating demand, so it's reciprocal. So it's his money coming back to him so he can reinvigorate the economy, and it'll drive him to the polls because everybody's going to agree with that.
Right.
You know, people are going to vote Democratic and bury the Republican Party.
Yeah, I hope so. These two budget proposals, you know, once again, it could not be more divergent. Our friend Patty Murray,
yep,
got a budget. Senate Democrats unveiled a largely stand pat budget Wednesday that calls for $1 trillion in new tax revenues over the next coming decade by Budget Committee Chairwoman Patty Murray of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
It blends about $1 trillion in modest cuts to health care providers, the Pentagon, domestic agencies, interest payments on the debt, with an equal amount in new revenue claimed by closing tax breaks. But because Democrats want to restore the $1.2 trillion automatic, the sequestration cuts.
Right.
The blueprint actually increases spending slightly when compared with, which is why they're screaming on the Republican side. On the other side, the House Budget Committee barreled ahead with their entirely opposite approach that whacks spending by $4.6 trillion over the coming decade, promises to sweeping cuts to Medicaid and domestic agencies while setting a path to balancing the budget within 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. We talked about it a little yesterday. It's hard to actually identify the layers of awful in Paul Ryan's budget. It's just awful.
Yes, it is.
The whole thing is awful and laughable. Even as Democrats controlling the Senate and the strongly conservative House moved in divergent directions, President Obama, again, traveled to the Capitol to have dialogue with the lawmakers, where he was asked mostly stuff like, how come the White House doors are canceled? How come you didn't call Speaker Boehner first on election night? I did. He was in bed. He was obviously in a Merlot, a deep Merlot.
Haze.
And Boehner confirmed that.
My version of Purple Haze.
Right. He was in a Purple Haze.
Yes, Boehner did confirm that.
Yes. Okay. So we got that covered in the meeting. Nothing about the economy or Medicare or jobs.
Stuff that counts.
Yeah, no. Representative Tom Cole said Obama told them everyone needs to honestly confront the political barriers to reining in popular benefit programs like Medicare and Social Security. He said, your people don't want entitlement reform either. Go home and poll them. it really is incredible. This is yet another flip-flop. Ryan campaigned against this sequestration, talking about how awful they were, these cuts.
Until they figured they could blame it on Obama, and then suddenly, love this.
So they're in his budget, these same cuts, except for the Pentagon, right?
Yep.
And he revives his controversial voucher plan.
It's premium support.
Uh-huh.
It's a serious plan.
Check this out. He proposes slashing the Medicaid health care program for the poor and disabled by more than $700 billion over 10 years.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ryan promises to eliminate $1.8 trillion in subsidies in the president's health care plan Which is not going to happen. It's like, what? Okay. All right.
Boy.
This is, you know what? Here's the kind of disarray. It's all summed up at CPAC.
Which starts today, I think.
Right. Really. Right. The Daily Beast headline, Heresy Hunters Rule CPAC and GOP Proud Chris Christie Need Not Apply.
Yeah.
This is just, it's a clown show. It's every year, they write, the doyens of the Conservative Political Action Conference issue a series of indirect proclamations on who qualifies as an actual conservative. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, not one of us. Too chummy with the president during Hurricane Sandy. Too squishy on gun control. The gay conservative, GOP proud. We're open to sinners. Newt Gingrich is a scheduled speaker, after all, but not ones who have contempt for the institution of marriage. Donald Trump, a sinner too on wife number three and pro-abortion rights to boot, but he believes the president might be born in Kenya. Nevertheless, Trump is an American patriot, popular with conservatives, said one conference organizer. It's your Republican Party today. Aren't they precious?
No.
Okay, Dave.
Can we just kick him out?
Dave in Tucson. Hi, Dave.
Hello?
Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I love you guys' show, by the way.
Thank you.
I get a little background about me. I'm an active duty service member. I've been in about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I wanted to speak on, like, how these ridiculous, you know, sequestration measures are actually affecting people. I'm in charge of about 50 soldiers, and myself, I'm actually attending college right now, trying to, coincidentally enough, get my political science degree, actually, and maybe I can understand all this craziness.
Yeah.
But, so.
Well, good luck with that.
You know, Monday morning, I go to re-register for new courses, and I was told that my tuition assistance is gone. And I had been following this, and I knew that obviously there would be some things at the DOD, and we've literally been getting emails from the Joint Chief of Staff blasted about how sequestration is going to cut, how it's going to furlough a lot of contractors and things like that who provide critical things to the Department of Defense. But I guess another segue to that is I think the Republicans are so reflexively against anything that this president does that they would rather vote against someone who is good for the country, even if it's someone that they supported or were in league with previously, i.e. someone like Chuck Hagel, who a lot of people in the United States military wanted him to be Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
But they drove their feet on it. And this is unheard of. It's completely ridiculous and it's shameless.
Yeah.
I'm a U.S. soldier. I need people to come to a point when they say we want to be leaders
mm-hmm.
and not have bickering partisanship when it comes to let's get a job done. And then it's John Brenner, too, the CIA director. We needed someone in that position.
Yep.
I mean, it's ridiculous that they're so reflective.
Well, they're making, you know, they're trying to make points about things that have nothing to do with the actual confirmation in front of them. They're just, it's one political skit after another.
It's a stunt.
It's sketch. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour.
Boner isn't good at sketch comedy. He needs to cut that out right now.
Kelly Carlin live in studio with us next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
John Boner sucking on moonshine.
Okay, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Kelly Carlin, what are those wacky dances you're doing over there?
I'm trying to wake up, Stephanie.
You're doing little disco hand dances.
That is
Tosadorbs. It really is. I don't even remember what that was. It's stuff we did in the 70s, that stuff.
Something like that.
Or
then there's the 80s one where you have to do it like this.
It's stuff we used to do. This is we're in honor of the Pope. We have the disco version of Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. That's kind of...
Wow, the disco version. This is going to be stuck in my head all week, isn't it?
Right. He is from Argentina.
He is, isn't he?
Pope Francis.
Yes.
Right.
Very excited about the Francis.
Right. Here we go. Do your hand dances.
Uh-huh. Hopeful.
Do we need a disco version of this?
Yeah. Apparently. No, we need a disco version of everything.
Yes. Thank you.
Disco version of the Horst Wessel Lied.
Yeah, that's it.
If you're talking about fascists.
Hello. Speaking of wildly entertaining, Kelly Carlin will be this Saturday.
Actually, next Saturday.
Oh, next Saturday. Pardon me.
Yeah.
At the Acme Comedy Theater.
I know. I'm excited about a new theater.
A Carlin Home Companion.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell us about it, won't you?
I will so much tell you about it right now. First of all, I'm excited. I'm moving to Hollywood with the show. I've been in Santa Monica forever, which is lovely. Love Santa Monica. But a lot of people in Los Angeles will not go to Santa Monica on a Thursday night. I'm actually going to be in Hollywood on a Saturday night. So all of my friends who refuse to leave their hipster area of town.
Yeah, I won't go to Santa Monica.
See, will actually get to come out and see my show now.
Very
and
cool. Where the parking is slightly less worse than Santa Monica.
Yeah, exactly. that is true. But at the Acme, they have fine valet parking.
Oh.
We already did our version of what's the movie about everybody talking about driving in L.A.?
The Californians.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Take Fountain.
It's true, yeah. Take Fountain, right.
That's our advice.
And the Acme's right on La Brea. It's very easy to get to.
Yep. Kelly Carlin, what are you doing here?
So, yeah, I'm excited. I've been, you know, doing the show a lot. And
stories? There's video footage?
It's, you know, I play some video of my oh-so-lovely daddy. Yeah.
Who was your dad? I'm sorry.
Richard Pryor, actually.
Okay, awesome.
Strange, isn't that?
The melanin didn't jump the
I know, it's very weird. Yes, the lovely and subdued Mr. George Carlin was my father.
Oh, Chris, wasn't I sent
what,
the show?
What, was my
I'm
father?
Sorry. Why didn't
now
you press
I see
her properly?
I failed as a producer.
George
what were
Carlin.
You thinking?
George Carlin.
Oh, I hear the
right.
seven words coming on.
Yes, someone told me outside to just keep saying
Chris.
Right, we would just keep doing that the whole hour.
And ironically, if you pronounce FCC phonetically, you get one of the words.
As you know, I had your dad on many times, and I thanked him profusely. I'm like, thanks a lot that I can't say on the radio because you had the spotlight on it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
He never ever will ever live that one down, I don't think. But, yeah, I play some videos, but mostly it's just storytelling, me talking about, you know, imagine, like, you know, when you pull the curtain back and the wizard is there, it's
right.
like you pull the curtain back and there's the Carlin family
right.
with all of our fun little adventures, especially in the 60s and the 70s when when my parents were just such good, fine, straight citizens of this fine country.
Right.
Not breaking any laws.
No.
No illicit anything going on in our household. But, you know,
that wouldn't have been worth the show. And
no.
then we turned on Huntley Brinkley and ate dinner again.
Exactly.
And then we went to bed.
Good night, David. Good night, Chet.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that Gary Shandling said, Master George might have said, maybe she's a little bit too damn honest, but all I know is it's a wonder to see.
Yeah, yeah. My dad was a little uncomfortable with the autobiographical nature of my work. You know, it's funny. People think like, oh, he was such a truth teller. He was so honest. And he was. But he never talked about his life or his family, whereas Richard Pryor would go on stage. That's why I kind of feel like I'm more related to Richard.
Right.
Richard goes on and just pours his guts on stage, and it's kind of more like where I'm at.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, your dad did talk about swimming through sewage in the
He
East
did.
River,
he did.
And how it built up his immune system.
I love that. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's such a fine memory. Such a fine visual.
But wait, revisit that bit for me. It's the he talks about why he never gets sick.
Well, yeah, he talks about how like everyone's so, you know, germophobic in this country. And they're always washing their hands. And, you know, the thing is that if you do that, then the big super germs actually get real defensive against things. What you need to do, like his friends did, the poor kids of the Upper West Side of Manhattan in the 30s and 40s, they swam in the river through the sewage, and no one in their neighborhood got polio.
Right.
All
they inoculated themselves.
They inoculated themselves against
everything.
I never get sick. You know why? Because I swam in raw sewage.
Exactly.
It wasn't quite the word he used. But.
And he would talk about how they would take this rock. They would be on the rock of the road. They would take a rock and throw it out, and it would create a clearing in the water so they could jump
in.
Oh, isn't that a visual?
It's like parting the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Well, parting the Brown Sea.
Parting the Brown Sea.
They became really fast swimmers just in time to get away from the floating.
Yes.
The floating.
Could have been in the Olympics.
Go, go, while it's clear.
That's motivation.
They
Missy Franklin never had to do that.
Yeah, they had to outswim the.
They certainly did. And so I in my childhood did not have any of those particular kind of stories. I mean, we had a very clean swimming pool in the Palisades. You know the thing,
because your dad made a little bit of money talking about the stories about the throwing of the rock in the sewage.
Right, and we ended up in the Palisades surrounded by like Governor Ronald Reagan's best friends. Well, I swear to God.
Wow,
there you go again.
Next door, we had a National Security Council bigwig who I think was like, you know, installing the Shah of Iran the whole time. And his daughter was my best friend, and he would come home with like all these Persian treasures. 40 years later, I'm like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Not everyone grew up next to the Shah of Iran.
It was just so. And then across the street, we had a Rand Corporation executive.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Jeez. Yes. Which dad would like go outside. And I remember one night we were standing on the driveway and dad turned to me and said, hey, Kelly, look at all the A-holes over there, you know, really loud, so they could all hear, and they all, like, stopped, quiet, turned, look at Dad and I, and I'm, like, 10 years old going,
hi.
Hi.
It's kind of the political version of swimming through sewage.
God.
He
Jamie
didn't, like, throw manure into the pool every once in a while, just for old time's sake.
Yeah, right. Just to so we could tell the story when I was a kid. There you go. Janie in New Jersey. You're on with Kelly. Hi, Janie.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Moogs. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Janie.
I'm a big fan, and I also greatly admire your father, of course. But I was wondering what you thought of my favorite quote of his, because the older I get, the more I realize how not only hilarious he really was, but also wise and astute. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with genders. And this is my favorite quote of his. And I'm not going to say the word.
I'll let you figure it out.
But anyway, it goes like this. Women are crazy and men are a-holes. But women are crazy because men are a-holes.
He's the first feminist. I love that about him.
He actually was very much a feminist. He really always supported women and saw that it was, you know, the crazy men on this planet who were making the women crazy, I guess, is the point he was making there. Yeah, I love that quote. That's, you know, it's funny. He did have a thing, a love of women, and he really, I mean, his big fight always was about the men, you know, and what they're doing to screw up this planet. So, especially the white males in power.
He just did that to get laid, though. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, it's true. It didn't work with my mom.
We're not fooling us. You're not fooling us, George. Men just fake feminism to get laid, I'm just saying.
Nice.
Let's go to Deb in California. You're on with Kelly. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, you guys.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your dad was great.
He
and
was.
And still is, frankly.
Yeah, yes. He is.
We're constantly thinking about him. And frankly, because he had some of the best concepts. His rant on his HBO special where he was kind of rapping.
Yes, the Modern Man piece.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That was just total brilliance. And it also makes you cry. Because it's so true. And
Well, I mean, he did. He made some. What's the thing I always love that we all need to keep each other till we're all one color about racism?
Right.
It's you know, it's funny and yet it's profound.
A little interesting kind of backstory, and this is kind of what I do in my show, is about the Modern Man piece. Is that HBO show was the second to last show, and I remember I hadn't seen my dad in a few months, and I showed up at the theater in New York where he was going to be shooting.
Right.
And my dad was suffering from heart failure at the time and wasn't really talking about it or dealing with it. He was very puffy. He looked shorter. He was could barely breathe backstage. And I really thought, wow, is he going to make it through this show? And then he went on stage and did that Modern Man piece.
Wow.
The one that everyone sees and knows in the HBO show. And it's like this, you know, this kind of evergreen, everlasting energy he got on stage, yeah. you know, from that.
I mean, he knew. He was aware of the heart.
About a month later, he ended up in the hospital, seriously, like really couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, well, I've been having these symptoms, but I just wanted to do my HBO show. And he was, I mean, he was so dedicated and driven by his work.
Yeah. Wow.
Amazing.
In honor of your dad, because he would love this, we are going to, when we come back, talk about what is the world off to. It's a very
masturbating.
Jerk. Right. What's in people's spank banks when we continue with Kelly Carlin. 17 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Oh, there she goes. Kelly Carlin, rocking out, live in studio with us, 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Sue in Chicago, you're on with Kelly. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Stephanie. Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
You are
such a blessing to so many people. Aww. And I just wanted to say also thank you to Kelly for her just insights and humor and honesty about her dad. And I'm an ordained Lutheran minister, and for 23 years, people have been telling me, which is such an honor and blessing to me, how much my sermons remind them of her dad.
Oh, wow.
Oh, how fabulous.
Wow.
I want to go to your church.
Yeah. Church of Carlin.
And that just so honors me and honors, I think, what God, what Jesus is all about. So thank you so much.
Do they call you preacher potty mouth, or do you clean it up?
You know, probably when I'm not standing in front of folks, yes, we are a fun church. We are, you know, the ultra liberal.
Awesome.
Two drink minimum. We love everybody.
Awesome. All right, honey.
Thank you. Love everybody.
What kind of church is that?
The seven words you can't say in a sermon.
Right.
There you go. All right. Kelly Carlin, what is the world off to? I think we want to know. I think your dad wants to know.
I certainly do.
Okay. I guess, porn search site PornMD has, for the sake of publicity and social science, collected its most used search terms for the last 6 months and accounted them. And we have every country around the world.
Oh, dear.
Let me just say, there are some super freaks. International House of Super Freaks.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start with us.
Okay. No. Sure. Let's. Yeah. Let's.
America.
Let's own it.
Yeah.
Let's own it.
America. Yeah. Number one. Our number one, MILF. MILF porn.
Ah, yeah. That's good to know as a middle-aged woman. Right? I'm finally being honored
in
some way.
Nicely done, America. Nicely done. All right. Teen. Oh, dear.
Oh, other direction.
Yeah. College. Cream pie.
Oh.
Is that American pie?
No, don't.
Yeah. We can't go there.
Massage porn. Asian porn. Sure. POV. What's POV?
Point of view. Like, you're holding the camera. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. So you're pretending it's being done right to you, you see.
Number eight, amateur. Oh, dear.
That's interesting, isn't it?
I do not think it should be done by amateurs. Yeah. I really don't.
We're all amateurs.
It's kind of hot, though, because it's like...
Well, there was that whole page of Hustler called... Can you say it?
Uh-huh. No.
Where people would send in their own pictures of themselves.
Right.
And,
okay.
You know, completely untrimmed and unmakeup.
No fake boobs.
No fake boobs at all.
Just straddling a dinette set.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Check this out.
A dinette set from Walmart.
Plastic is still on the sofa.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Compilation? I don't know, was that like sizzle reel porn?
Sure.
Yeah. It's like a clip reel.
Promo porn.
It's the best of your porn.
Yes.
The highlights from my...
Just the highlights.
Oh, and then number 10 is...
Short attention span.
Backdoor, kind of.
Over there.
Yeah, the backdoor.
Around there. That other side there.
Let's move to Iran.
Yes.
Why?
No, I don't want to move there.
They search for porn?
Because they're number one. I have something in common with Iran. They're number one. See. Which I assume does not mean watching cat videos, which is also very popular here in the States.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you know, and interestingly, remember I'm a Dinner Jacket said that they don't have gays there?
Right.
Yes. Turns out they do.
Remember they said they don't have that?
That's right.
Interestingly, let's see, they're number 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 top are gay.
Really?
I'm sure that's strange. For research
that's
purposes.
Weird. Right. The entire They're country just studying. Of sure. Right, just for research.
Right, of course.
See, this, don't do that.
Wonder what that's like, right. That gay thing. Right.
Right. Number four, top searches in Iran, porn searches in Iran, daddy love, gay. Mm. Five, Harry, gay. Six, hotel businessman, gay. Seven,
hotel?
Iranian, gay.
That's a pretty specific scenario.
Businessman.
Eight,
yeah. For a country that has no gays,
that's a weird fetish.
Eight is shower, gay. And then number nine is job, which, you know, may or may not be.
Could be. Right. Wow. Goes both ways, that.
Hotel businessman?
I love the hotel businessman.
You know, I hope... I had hoped to bring peace to the Middle East at one point, and this may not help, but I'm just saying... Palestinians, really? Your number one porn search is family? I mean, really?
Oh.
What?
Oh, no.
That's complicated.
Sure. Although, let me just to be even-handed, say the number one porn search in Israel?
Yeah.
Prostate.
Oh.
Sadie, could you look at this? It's the size of a Packard.
This just look infected to you.
It taint true, is it?
Hey, you see what you did there?
Number eight on Palestinian porn searches? Mom. No.
So wrong. Maybe they don't know about the milk part.
That's an interesting insight into different countries in there.
Peek into something there. Prostate porn is the...
Hotel businessman.
I know.
I'm thinking, like, a hotel businessman, does, like, concierge go with that?
Yes.
I'm, like, writing the scene
that's
right now in my head.
That's a specific fetish.
It's very strange.
Room service.
Room service.
Wow.
Hello. I am a gay hotel businessman. Might I come in? Waka, 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 waka.
But I thought we had no gays here in Iran.
No, we do not.
We are only hotel watching. Businessman gay. All right. Rob in New York, you're on with Kelly. Hi, Rob. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, good morning. First off, is everybody scared how quickly Chris knew what POV was?
Yes,
well,
that's true.
No, there's actually a PBS series called POV, and it stands for Point of View.
Right. Yes.
Right. Yeah, okay, Chris.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Sure. Watch PBS.
The PBS point.
Cubic broadcasting system.
The real reason I called was, and Kelly, I'm sure you know this, George did a special in 91 right after the Gulf War.
Yes.
And it's scary because you listen and he talks about Bush and Cheney and Powell with the war. And if you play it after the Iraq War, it really works.
Isn't it scary?
It works.
Yeah. Yeah, the man was a prophet. He really, really was.
Yeah.
I mean, even today, like, you know, his very first Saturday Night Live in 1975, he talked about airport security.
Wow.
And wondered where it would lead someday. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
How is he thinking about these things?
Yeah. He was a psychic comic, wasn't
he? He was the psychic comic, yes.
Yeah.
Everything old is new again.
It's very true. And, you know, that's why he you know, he talked about America as the freak show, you know.
Yeah.
Like, when you're born, you get a ticket to the freak show. And when you're born in America, you get a front row seat.
That's right.
And it is. It's the the never-ending circus of it all. And
imagine if George Carlin had been president instead of George W. Bush. How many people would be alive today?
All right.
Just saying. Yeah, the Iraq War stuff. I mean, all of it dead on, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. As are you, Kelly Carlin, who stays in studio. Jim has to go to a voice.
I have another job.
Jim.
Well,
I'll tell you what it is,
but I'd
have to kill you.
He actually said he has to leave because no one cares about his dad.
Jim.
No,
that's not so.
He's going to go make some money.
I was going to say that your new best friend, Stephen Stills, is going to be on later with Jules Holland tonight on Palladia. So
awesome.
Check
and
your
he's
going to
be right over here in a few minutes.
Can we go touch him?
Right.
I'm just going to go touch him.
All right. Right back with Kelly Carlin on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't mean to stare, but you're...
Stephanie Miller.
You were my boyhood idol. Well, you and Jean the dancing machine.
Oh, right. You're right, Kelly Carlin. What happens when you turn safe search off in Iran? What happens with your porn search then? Who can tell? 34 minutes after the hour. Kelly Carlin live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, this chart is just...
I'm, like, so fascinated. Really?
What the world is... off to. fascinating. Here's one other thing I learned. Would you like some more porn fun facts?
Sure. Absolutely.
The Chinese kind of self-hating. Their number one porn search, Japanese. They do not like to watch.
Wow. Well, you know, it's that kind of, you know, forbidden fruit thing.
Right. Right, and Chinese is second. Because, yeah, you know, once you watch Chinese porn right away, again, you're hungry.
Yeah.
Like an hour later. Japan, number one, is Japanese. So, see, they're,
yeah,
you know, a little
self-loving.
Into themselves.
Yes. So to speak.
Yeah.
Good self-esteem there.
Right.
Self-loving.
Yes.
Very, very well said.
Thank you.
That's very sad. In China, they're like, oh, Chinese people, that's a turnoff. South Korea? Number five is the S word.
What?
Number, crap? Number, yes, really? And number 10 is ing.
Wow.
So, not... So I guess
okay,
that's all right.
Wow.
That's,
wow.
I don't mean to judge, but that's just wrong.
This is a fascinating peek into different countries'
truly
psyches.
Truly, the psychology of this is...
Oh, I see. The one is it's already there, I guess, and the other one is watching
is your,
it.
Is you're making it.
Oh, wow. You know...
And now, back to questions about George Carlin.
Dad would be so proud right now.
Steve in Massachusetts, you're on with Kelly Carlin. Hey, Steve.
Hello. I love this conversation. I almost got thrown off by the question I was going to ask. This is great stuff. This is quality.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, Stephanie, the team, I've only just been included, you guys. It's awesome. You guys are just great. It's the best radio team I've ever heard. It's funny. It's excited. It's just brilliant.
Thank you.
Thank you just for being you. Anyway,
love
big
that.
Question for Kelly. I'm a music guy. I'm a musician, and always curious about what people's musical tastes are, artists, stuff like that. Never really got to hear what George was into, what kind of stuff, you know, music he listened to, or artists, or stuff like that. And also, two-parter, I wanted to know what made George laugh.
Great questions. Dad had a rich, rich musical background. He grew up in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, what he used to call Irish Harlem, which was wedged between Spanish and Black Harlem. So he was very influenced by the Black culture. So Boogie Woogie in his early days was very important to him. And he actually played some on the piano.
Wow.
If you go and Google George Carlin Cherry Pie, there's a clip of him on Arsenio.
Wow.
Playing and singing Cherry Pie. Beautiful, beautiful. But had real eclectic taste. Loved folk music. Was very into folk music. A lot of jazz. He grew up listening to jazz and going to see the great jazz artists in New York City. He has all the autographs of all the big people. I have his vinyl collection that he collected in the 60s and 70s. And when I was very little, he said, "This is your collection, Kelly. I'm collecting this for you." So I still have it. I play it. I love it.
Wow.
When can I come over?
Yes, anytime, Steph. And he wasn't into like rock and like he wasn't into like Led Zeppelin, and he wasn't into Bruce Springsteen until later in Bruce's career. But he a real eclectic taste turned me on to my musical taste. And as what was the other question?
About
what made him laugh?
Well, what made him laugh? But also, did he like the Beatles by any chance?
Yes, we have all the Beatles on vinyl.
I was always curious. I always thought him as maybe a bit of a Beatle guy.
Yes, absolutely. And one of my fondest memories is being about 4 years old and the White Album playing.
Wow.
And me dancing around the living room to Bungalow Bill, not really understanding it was about killing.
Yeah.
There were animals in it, so I thought it was a kid's song.
What did I know? I was a little kid.
But the making me laugh part, you know, I remember being a kid and watching, you know, Carol Burnett show with my dad and Newhart.
Yep, me too.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. Peter Sellers in the Pink Panther movies. I remember going with my dad and him crying, laughing so hard.
So he liked the slapstick.
He did.
Yeah.
He loved
it. Wow.
Hey, my dad grew up on, you know, Marx Brothers,
right.
Three Stooges, you know, those kind of guys. They really influenced him. So, yeah.
Exactly. Wow.
And I have a line.
That's totally not his kind of humor.
No, but you know, he grew up in the 40s,
right.
So that was his thing.
And then Steve, of course, in later years.
Stephanie Miller.
No, Chris, don't bring that up again. great stuff. No, great question.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Susan in Washington, you're on with Kelly. Hey, Suze.
Hi.
Hi.
When I was a teenager, we had a friend of mine and I just come out of a Broadway matinee, and we passed the Merv Griffin show. So we thought we'd try to get in, and it was really, at that time, really easy to get in. And George was one of the guests that show, and that was in his – he was still wearing a suit and tie.
Short hair. Yep.
And I still remember – this is in the 60s now, and I still remember him talking about doing a takeoff on a toothpaste commercial. And with a goofy voice, he would say, their side had 37% fewer cavities, but three of our girls got pregnant. I was laughing so hard during that It was the first of many times that I got to see him.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wow.
See, and he was so brilliant that even people with really bad delivery like you just had really could sell that joke.
Yes.
That was awesome. It was still fun.
I don't claim to be a...
You did great.
Dad would be proud.
He would. Yeah, that's, you know, even during those straight-laced days, see his work, and it was still always... you know, questioning the status quo trying to poke holes in it in a most wholesome way.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, when he was on the TV there.
Yeah, exactly. Did your dad ever have any thoughts on religion?
No, he did. He had no opinions.
My favorite book, When Will Jesus Bring the Pork Chops?
Yes.
I just love...
He loved that because he offended all three monotheistic religions one sentence.
That's brilliant.
As only he could.
Truly.
That's why I love this story. Gawker brings us the one person Westboro Baptist Church doesn't hate, Jennifer Lawrence.
What? Because she has no personality.
There you go.
Some editor said, have you ever met anyone who doesn't like Jennifer Lawrence? He decided to give some hate groups a ring and see if anyone could put a stop to the Jennifer Lawrence love fest. And so a lot of supremacist groups, they had no comment.
Right.
Westboro Baptist Church was kind of chatty.
They chimed in.
They're chatty.
Right. Guess what? They love her, too.
Really?
Yeah. He said, whoever answered the phone said, I think most of the young people in our church saw Hunger Games. I think they all like that. She just kind of bursted onto the scene, didn't she? She doesn't have a very long film career, does she? When reminded that she was also nominated for some awards for Winter's Bone, he said, oh, that's her? Winter's Bone rocked. That was a great flick. I like Winter's Bone quite a bit. I think she did a very nice job there.
That was an R-rated movie. Why is Westboro Baptist Church... looking at an R-rated movie.
Yeah, he's like Sam Champion all of a sudden.
Weatherman?
No, who am I thinking of?
Gene Shalit.
Right, that's who I meant. No.
They need to.
The entertainment reporter.
George Pinocchio?
No. You know what? I'm lost to you now.
Never mind.
You can't help me now.
You know what's some really great entertainment? Google Fred Phelps, George Carlin. About a month after my dad died, Fred, or maybe a week after, I didn't see it for a while, but Fred sat down and does a little news story with my dad's picture in a flames and talks about how my dad's going to hell. Very entertaining. Google it. You'll totally enjoy it.
Awesome.
Uh-huh. It's amazing. It's quite amazing. I laugh throughout the whole thing now. Dad would have loved it.
Yeah. I frequently called the Reverend Fred Phelps because he would always forget who I was, and then he would take my call.
Ah,
yes.
Nice.
Now, why is it that you pick at gay funerals that people have died of AIDS?
The famous ones, and when the homosexual lobby turns it into a propaganda epic in order to promote and advance their filthy lifestyle, then somebody needs to be there.
You need to step in. Super bigot needs to step in. Do you have a costume? What kind of clothes do you wear to these events?
Well, this dialogue is going to be elevated with a bit of seriousness.
All right.
This conversation is over.
All right.
It's been awful nice talking to you.
Now, don't you want to talk to some callers?
Nice day. Bye.
Don't. Oh, but I love you. Hello. Bastard.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
Wow.
That was probably the longest I ever kept him on.
Yeah, it is.
He's so... such a loving Christian.
So awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. In another edition of Wow, Is That Random? So Dennis Rodman, as you know, went to North Korea.
Yep.
Yes.
And isn't he at the Vatican waiting to meet the new Pope?
He was at the Vatican. He showed up in a big flowery coat.
He says he'll go wherever he's needed.
Well,
he's not needed anywhere, as I pointed out.
Clearly, things are not going well with North Korea now, so I'm really curious.
What did you say?
What did he
Dennis?
Do? I can imagine what he said to this guy, like getting all chummy with him, and he's bouncing the basketball.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's just...
John Kerry on the phone for you.
Yeah, I mean, and so what is he going to... What's going to happen to the Vatican now if he goes there?
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Well, this is even weirder. Steven Seagal is hanging out with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
No, please.
Why?
Really?
What happened to Jimmy Carter doing all of this?
Wow. Yeah. Steven Seagal. Oh.
Right. Last August, Putin is a known judo enthusiast, honored Seagal's contribution to martial arts at a mixed martial arts tournament. So that's, I guess, why they're friends.
Wow.
That's,
I wonder.
Must
what,
we send our most random?
Yes, random B, like.
Not even B.
Like
that's
C.
Like, yeah.
Like, I'm speechless.
We need
right
to take
now
a second to digest that.
I do.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Kelly Carlin live in studio. 1-800-STEP-12. Any more questions for Kelly as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show?
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Kelly Carlin live in studio with us. Yay.
Yay.
Still awake. Still awake.
Yeah, you were up kind of late last night.
Yeah, I was doing a podcast late, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm here. I'm good.
All the kids have the podcast these days.
I have the podcast. Everyone
has
the podcast.
That's right. What is your podcast? How can we find it?
It's called Waking from the American Dream.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that. I think I need to add that in my life. Can you just follow me around with that noise, please?
Yes, indeed.
And it's on Smodcast.
Okay.
It's on iTunes.
Fabulous.
Nice. You know, you just Googled me. If you go to kellycarlin.com, all of my many, 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 many things I do are on there.
Aren't you something?
And isn't it just amazing how everyone has a website with their name now? It's just my name.
You can read more about that at stephaniemiller.com.
Exactly. My name is just kellycarlin.com.
And don't forget, at stephaniemiller.com, you can get my podcast for only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Ha.
Okay. And you can see Kelly Carlin live this Saturday, or excuse me, next Saturday, March 23rd at the Acme Comedy Theater with her fabulous one-woman show, A Carlin Home Companion.
Yeah, come on down for I'm dragging the Carlin family to Hollywood.
Get in the car,
everyone. We're going to Hollywood.
All right. Steve in Texas, you're on with Kelly. Hi, Steve.
Hi. How y'all doing
good
today?
Oh, great. We got a y'all.
Hello?
Well, y'all.
All right.
I'd just like to hear Ms. Carlin talk about her father's relationship with Lenny Bruce and the story of him being arrested at the, I guess it was the show where Lenny Bruce was hauled off the stage. And George was protesting and got hauled off, too. And I'll let you all talk about that while I listen. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, thank you. He'll take no further
questions
on air. Go ahead.
Yes. Lenny was a huge influence, obviously, on my dad. And my dad met him in the early days in the 60s down in the village. And Lenny got my dad his first manager.
Oh, wow.
And my mom actually had met Lenny before she had met my father. My mom was a hostess at a club in Dayton, Ohio, where comics would come through. So in 1961, my mom and dad are in Chicago. Lenny's on stage. Lenny gets arrested. They start questioning everyone in the club, and the cops are asking everyone for their ID. And my dad said, "I don't believe in identification." And they promptly took my dad, threw him in the back of the paddy wagon with Lenny. And so my dad's so proud of himself. He stood up to the man, you know, and he says, and so he tells Lenny what he did, you know. And Lenny looks at him and he goes, "What are you, a schmuck?" And my mom, she was so proud. She talks about chasing the paddy wagon on foot all the way to the precinct so she could find out how much their bail was and go scrounge up some money to bail them out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's go to Matt in Minneapolis for Kelly. Hey, Matt.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kelly. How are you doing?
We're good.
That's good to hear. Hey, I've you know, been a fan of your father's for, I would say, since I was 12. When he died, I cried for 3 days.
Aww.
He was a boss to me. He was like a father almost that I never met.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm calling is I live in Milwaukee. I saw him back in 1997, and he said it was his first show back since his band from Summerfest. From the Seven Dirty Words.
Yes.
And I just wanted to know more about what his thoughts and feelings about that band, how long it took for him to get back, were, because he very vaguely touched on it and like how pissed he was about it. But
yeah, you know, I don't know about his opinion about being banned from there. I didn't know it was that long, actually. That's pretty amazing. I was there the night he got arrested on stage, or just off stage, at Summerfest. I was young. I was 9 years old, and it was very, very scary for me.
Yeah.
My mother, well, see, the promoter knew the cops were around and were, you know, were going to come and get him, and my mom knew that my dad had drugs in his pocket.
Oh, boy.
So she had to figure out a way to get on stage to warn him to empty his pockets. And so she, like, suddenly shows up on stage with a glass of water in the middle of his act. And he's, like, looking at her like, what are you doing here?
And show everything in your pockets, like party favors to the crowd.
Yeah,
here.
And she's like, you know, she let him know what was going on. And then we all, like, rushed backstage into the dressing room. And I remember my mother, they had quite a large bag of cocaine. And my mother hid it in the bass drum of the band that was going to go on next.
Like, awesome. With, awesome prank.
So, yeah, the drummer and that band were very happy later. That night when they discovered probably an 8-ball of coke
in
their
drum. He's probably still drumming like the Energizer drummer.
Probably, yeah. But it was scary, them taking my dad away. I ended up having to stay the whole weekend with the promoter and his family. And the most fascinating thing I found about the whole weekend, terrified my dad was in jail, all of that, but fascinated that they had this thing in the backyard, an above-ground pool.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, being a Southern California girl, I was like, what is this? Why is it above the ground?
Yeah.
Having no understanding of how the ground freezes.
Yes.
All right, there you go. You know, it's interesting what he said, because I was thinking, I remember I cried too. That must be weird to have something so deeply personal, to have like the strangers all around the world were crying with you.
And it's fascinating, because a lot of people that tell me that is that they, like, I don't follow celebrities, I don't even like celebrities, but when your dad died, I cried. And it hits me, and it has made me understand that my dad was like a dad or an uncle or, you know, the guy you hung out with kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And I think he really held for all of us this like, oh, good, he's coming back and he's going to tell us the truth, you know.
Well, yeah, He's such a, I think he was such a hero that I think people really felt the loss.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, like, we're not going to hear what George Carlin thinks about this or this or this.
I think for a lot of people, he was like the really cool uncle wanted to hang out with.
Absolutely. He was like every guy because he really was like every guy.
Right.
And the thing is, it's like, what's interesting now is people then say to me, well, what would your dad think about Bump, Bump, or Bump?
Right.
And it's like, I can't answer that question because he always surprised me by what he was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this whole argument we have about politics, about, you know, this isn't my dad and Goldwater's Republican Party. My dad died in 83, though, so I can say what I feel as a daughter in my heart about the kind of man he was and what he would think. But you're right, and particularly that's been a long time. I can't say what he would think. I know what I think he would think.
Yeah, yeah, and like the other caller said, you know, there's so much material we can still watch, and it's still fresh, and it's still meaningful.
Right.
So I always, like, point people to, like, well, go to the American Dream bit, or go to this bit, or go to that bit, because that's basically what he'd still think about it all.
I think we can extrapolate he would think Paul Ryan's a douche. Am I going
too far? I think that's a safe bet.
Okay.
That's a safe one.
Hope I'm not going too far on a limb. Dave in Illinois, you're on with Kelly. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, Stephanie and Kelly, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to point out his bit that he did on global warming. Mm. I thought that is so insightful. He basically said the arrogance of man to think that they have any effect on this earth, and that any time that the earth wants to, all it has to do is just shrug its shoulders, and it takes care of all of man's problems. I think that is very insightful, and in today's day and age, I think that is even more prevalent.
And actually, I want to kind of steer you clear a little bit there. My dad was talking about environmentalists. He wasn't talking about global warming. He was talking about the arrogance of people wanting to change the direction of things. My dad absolutely believed that man was creating global warming. A lot of deniers of global warming use my father's words to back up their argument. My dad absolutely believed that man was wrecking the planet in that way. What he was saying is, if you think you're going to recycle a plastic bottle in the city of Los Angeles and it's going to make a difference, there's an arrogance in that. But he absolutely believed that the oil industry was polluting and destroying and corrupting our planet. 100%.
Thank you for that correction. We appreciate it. By the way, a quick shout out and good thoughts to a friend of the Stephanie Miller Show, Ed Asner.
Yeah.
He was rushed to the hospital.
Oh.
His son said, though, he is grumpy and feeling better.
Excellent. If he's grumpy, he's doing well.
That's a good thing. Yes.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know
I
Ed. And
I went to high school with his daughter, Liza.
Aww. Let's wish him a speedy recovery. He's supposed to be released today.
Oh, good, good.
Kelly Carlin, go to kellycarlin.com.
Yes.
Right?
Please.
Why not?
Why not? Hang out with me there.
You are, as James Lipton would say, a delight, man.
Thank you. I'll write back at you, babe.
Tomorrow, Fridays with Bugles Sang. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Bye.